Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com. Wow, I'm spaced out for a second. I forgot I had to start recording. Good morning. How are you guys?
It is 44. It is 44 degrees.
Tidal approach into Nashville. Anyway, today we're talking about the difference between hoarding and prepping. I hinted at it. I alluded to it yesterday. We're gonna tackle that bad boy today. Oh man. And I might have an interesting episode for you guys coming up soon. I have started experimenting with
there is a box in the road.
I've started experimenting with some new supplements. So we'll see. I learned a new, anyway, hoarding versus prepping. Is there a difference? There's a lot of people that call preppers hoarders, and they are wrong. And there is a big fundamental difference. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show, Hoarders. I'm going to stop here in a second and check my tires to make sure they're not low. The bumps feel bumpier than usual. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show, Hoarders. I want to say Couch Potato Mike got into it for a while, and he showed me either an episode or a clip from it, and that's basically the extent of the show that I know, besides seeing people talk about it online. That is gross. There is some gross-ass gross shit. I don't know how you can watch that and then call preppers hoarders. There might be some, like, the Venn diagram, like, preppers that are hoarders. You know, there might be some that get into prepping, get out of control. Let's pull over here on this gravel dirt road and just investigate my tires. And if they need to be aired up, I will air them up and edit out the silence. We're back from outer space. There probably are some preppers that take it to the hoarding extreme, but there's a huge difference. These people are just not throwing things away, and they're being next level fucking gross about shit. Having extra is not being next level fucking gross about stuff. This has been James from RoadBunk.com. DIY to survive, you guys. Now, when you have just stacks of newspapers so that you can't even move around in your house, I saw videos of people just not taking their trash out. Like, they'll just pile trash on the floor and continue to pile trash on the floor. I like creating a biohazard. So, I've been on groups, forums, whatnot, for preppers for more than 10 years. I've never seen anyone show their preps, much to the chagrin of other people, and in any way make me think of the show Hoarders at all. It's always neat, organized, usually in dedicated areas, right? So, like, if you go to their house, unless you're shown and, like, led to the preps, you would never know. Oh my God. I had a dream last night that I was house shopping, right? House shopping. I was looking to buy a house, and I was in a house looking at it, and my wife wasn't there yet. And it was like a open door thing, like, come check it out, because people still live there. It was a weird situation, but it was a dream, so whatever. And I was looking around, and I was like, man, I could prep so hard in this. There was two fridges and a deep freeze and, like, a secondary kitchen with a second pantry, and I was like, I can prep so hard. Ugh. Anyway. I might be in the market for a house soon. So I've been kind of looking at it. There's a part of me that was like, man, if the housing market collapses, I'm totally in this motherfucker. If the houses get price corrected for what they should be, I'm Johnny on the spot here. Anyway, prepping is not hoarding. Prepping is one. It's not junk. That's one of the big main, like, hoarders are keeping just fucking junk. They don't want to throw things away. They don't want to get rid of things because they might need them one day. There is a crossover with prepping in that, in a way, right? And everybody has their junk drawer for things they might need. And if you're a man and you're over like 30, you've got the jar. I have the jar. You have the jar. Everyone has the jar. I know some women that inherited the jar from their fathers because there was no sons, or the sons were losers. The jar. The jar of random nuts, bolts, screws that you might need one day. And by God, you have had to go to the jar. There are multiple times where I'm like, oh, I need this thing. And I'm like, well, let me go to the jar. And it's in the jar. And one day, my daughter will probably inherit the jar. I don't think my son has any interest in inheriting the jar. It'll go to my daughter, who is a perfect mix of me and her mother. Anyway, you're not keeping junk, right? Hoarders keep a bunch of bullshit. You, having two of something in case one breaks is one thing. Having a stack of newspapers is another thing, right? So what you store is a key facet of being a prepper, and how you store it. Neat, organized, in good shape, in good repair. It's caring about it, right? So that's one big level of it. Let's get on to how prepping is a good thing versus hoarding, and what the difference is in actuality. So we all remember the COVID pandemic. We were all there. We all remember it. The toilet paper thing was ridiculous. None of it makes any sense. There's still no good reason for it. You know what? As being a voice in the survival community, getting on the podcast and talking to people, having read, listened, watched hours upon hours of information, me and a lot of other preppers had a good working theory on what would happen during a collapse, during a pandemic. None of that happened. It was the stupidest thing ever. Before that, nobody was saying, oh yeah, during the collapse, people are going to buy all the toilet paper and there won't be any toilet paper because they're going to hoard it. What? Like, I had theories on what would be disappearing from the store shelves. It wasn't that. A lot of the stuff that me as a prepper would be buying for preps, and I did, and I prepped pretty hard during the pandemic, was still there. It was like your long-term shelf stable things were there. It was mostly just bullshit and convenient food. So if I ever write a collapse book, and I might write a collapse book now that I'm a writer, a writist. I'm still in the process of writing, but anyway, I would probably write about how we just did an episode on slow collapse versus fast collapse. If we ever had a fast collapse, I honestly think that a bunch of retards are going to go buy frozen pizzas. Then the power will go out and they're eating rotten, defrosted, frozen pizzas. I do. It didn't make no sense. They were stockpiling bullshit that wouldn't last because going to the grocery store was the only thing they could do anyway. It was a crazy time. But that's hoarding. Running to the store, there would be people whose whole shopping carts were nothing but toilet paper because you had to get your toilet paper before everyone else got their toilet paper. It was all crazy as shit. I, and the other preppers I know, would just buy toilet paper. And when we got low, I would start looking for toilet paper when we started to get low, because there were definitely days where you could not get toilet paper due to it selling out or just not coming in because the supply chain was broken with toilet paper. You couldn't find it every day. But that's why we prep, so we don't have to buy things every day. I just made a mental note. I think the next thing I prep is going to be peanut butter. Anyway, prepping is better on the supply chain than hoarding. Hoarding is like panic buying, is running out there and buying everything because something could happen. If you're a prepper and you prep day in and day out, every day, you're not as affected by these hiccups in the supply chain as other people. Also, you're not as affected in price changes, inflation. If you buy things when they're cheap and you preserve them, you will be able to avoid some of these price hikes. There's a lot of people that will do things like that. Like, if there's a sell on something, they'll buy a whole bunch of it, they'll can it or preserve it another way, and then they'll go on that and they'll wait for the other sell. Because there's always ups and downs. If you're a person that buys and eats a lot of grapes, keep an eye on them because they are super fluctuating, right? There are definitely ups and downs within the month. Like, there's a high point during the month and a low point during the month. I guess you could make raisins or something, but they're not the same. My wife loves eating grapes, and I hate buying grapes. Don't ask me why, I just do. Anyway, as a prepper, you slowly build your preps. You slowly build it over time, and then you're not a burden on the system. When these things happen, you're not the one running to the store. If anything, preppers absolutely help the supply chain in that issue. We are buying during a point of high availability, so we can make it through a point of low availability. If everybody did this, it would be a lot better. 100%. So that is why we prep. I'm reminded of, I think it's a book I have, maybe. It was a book about eating gourmet during the apocalypse. Brief interlude, I gotta tell a story. So sometimes the YouTube algorithm is eerily accurate and it gives you exactly what you want, even though you don't know you want it. It started feeding me some videos from a London YouTube channel of chefs, right? So it's a restaurant in London. They used to work at a Michelin star restaurant, 2 Michelin stars. So they do cooking videos. I love cooking videos. The first one that got me was on mother sauces. I really want to get better at sauces. So last night, I made pan-seared salmon with a white wine-based sauce. My wife said it was the best salmon she's ever had. That white wine sauce was fantastic, and super easy, fresh, vibrant, so good. I just followed a generic easy. I modified it too, right? The recipe definitely didn't ask for shallots, and I added butter, because what sauce doesn't do better with butter, right? Anyway, back to that. So, this book, I think it was Eating During the... I'll try to find a link and put it in the show notes, right? Like, it was Eating Through the Apocalypse or something. In it, the person was a prepper that lived in Florida, and they went to the grocery store during hurricane preps, right? So everyone was in there like freaking out, and they're buying a bunch of gross ass bullshit, and they're like, oh, you know what, they went in and they bought the stuff that wasn't being bought for people freaking out, and they ate great. I think the story was they went in there and bought some like escargot because no one was buying that. Escargot is a canned good, so every time I've ever seen it in the stores, it has been in a can. So, by all means, you could prep escargot. If you've never tried it, it's probably worth it. I don't know if the first time you eat escargot should be from the grocery store canned escargot. I'm just saying. I had it at a French restaurant, and it was good. So, you cook something in that much butter, though, I mean, everything would be good. Surprisingly, I like escargot better than steak tartare. Something about the tartare just was... I didn't love it. And I should have... I was very excited to have it. Anyway, when people are in the grocery store and they're hoarding and they're buying bullshit during these spike events like this, and you... There's a lot that you can do to, one, not affect it, because you've already prepped. You don't need it. And if you need the stuff they're buying, you probably already have it, right? You can just go to your preps and you can do it. But there's still opportunities to get things that are outside the box. And that's what I drew from that story, right? So maybe you don't want to go in the store and get escargot. Maybe you do. I'm not judging you. I did eat it. Anyway, there are... When they happen, and I mean, it's not that often, right? I need to do an episode on tariffs soon. There's too much going on. I have to do an episode. I have to get researched. When you go to the store and they are ripping the shelves down and they're buying everything, if you really look, there are pockets of stuff not being touched. Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But you can utilize those pockets, right? With some creativity in the kitchen, a run on the store shelves won't even affect you. You have your preps that you can rely on, and you can supplement it with the things at the store that aren't being bought. I can tell you one thing that's never wiped out, and that's the vegan section. Although, I don't think you should go wipe that out either. The vegan section is gross, and I want no part of it. I'd much rather eat the escargot. And with that, we're gonna go ahead and get to the housekeeping. I need to add a link in the episode. It won't be today because I have to edit this episode. This episode also won't have a theme song. I'm recording the episode, and I'm going to edit it on my phone and put it up on the website while I'm at work, so it won't be edited as well. Maybe over the weekend I'll do something to kind of edit some more. I had intentions of going out and recording a podcast yesterday while I was off work, but my daughter woke up and I had to spend time with my best friend, so no episode yesterday. Recording an episode today for today. And then over the weekend, I'm off both days, but I'm going to try to get out there and record an episode so that Patreon can get back on their schedule and everyone will be on their schedule. I at least have to record an episode one of those 2 days because I need an episode to come out on Monday for the show. Anyway, I need to put a link on the show and in the sidebar for a company called Endorphix. They have energy patches. My wife has been pretty religiously using these patches for months, maybe a year. And they're a local USA company. Those patches are better than energy drinks for her. I've used them a couple of times. I'm pretty much endocrinetically dead, so they don't do a whole lot for me. But if you're a normal human, then these patches can really do a lot to help you. I have a discount code. You can check it out. And it'll be in the show notes. So you can click on it. SurrealPunk.com. Anyway, if you like this show, do consider supporting it by joining the Surreal Punk Army, which you can do for as low as $5 a month or as much as $50 per year, where you get discounts to vendors, ebooks, and the episodes of convenient download zip files. And the faster internet is coming. I signed up for it. No longer, sometime nebulously in the future, faster internet is actually coming. And I will be able to upload episodes faster and do live streams. And that'll be fantastic. Next, you can join on Patreon for as low as $1 a month or as much as $5 per month, where you generally get the episode earlier than the rest of the people. We're trying to get back on track. Next, if you go to surrealpunk.com and click on any of the episodes, there'll be an Amazon item of the day. Today's item is 24 pack of individual spam packets. Great. If you've ever had spam is fucking delicious. The individual packets are great to throw in your homemade MREs and whatnot. Take out on hikes. Fantastic. Well worth it. At the price, they're pretty good from Amazon. Anyway, lastly, if you do like the show, consider sharing it wherever you're hanging out online. That makes a huge difference and I really appreciate it. And that's all that I have. This has been James from StrawPunk.com. DIY to survive, you guys.